Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Hello, everyone, and good morning, and thank you very much for tuning in and joining us here alongside of John Gaver. I am Frank Lyons. This is Riders Up, and on today's show, it's an excellent show. We have two of the best riders that ever lived.
Couple Hall of Famers.
Have ridden over 10,000 winners between the two of them. I'm talking about Mikey Smith and Alex Solis Jr., or Alex Solis Sr., I should say,
yep,
who just announced his retirement from the saddle last week. We'll get a little bit of insight into what Alex is thinking about doing in the future, and also then Mike is actually coming on to talk about this new irons that he has come up with. And also then we're also going to have David Sarno on the show, who is the maker of those irons, Equus Thoroughbreds.
American Equus. It's a lot of top, basically every rider, major rider in America, it seems like, looking at their website, uses these irons. So it'll be interesting to see what the difference is between these and your normal run-of-the-mill stirrups.
We're also going to then, we'll handicap the Demoiselle, the Grade 2 Demoiselle, the Grade 2 Remsen. The Cigar Mile is Grade 1. And
always a good day at Aqueduct. You know, close the curtain on the New York Racing Association, kind of last big day up there for them for the year. And all three of those races are pretty competitive.
Yeah. But before we get to all of that, John, you got some news for us.
Got a little bit of news. Trainer Mike Maker notched career win number 2000 when Tomahawk Kitten broke his maiden by 4 1/4 lengths in the first race at Turfway Park on November 30th. Appropriately, Tomahawk Kitten is owned and bred by Maker's longtime clients Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Maker, 48, is the son of trainer George Maker and is a former assistant to Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas. His lifetime purse earnings total over $77 million, and in his 17 career, he has a win percentage of 22%. His horses have finished in the money 50% of the time during that time span. Some of the top horses he has conditioned include Free for Internet, Hanson, Furthest Land, Stately Victor, Bigger Picture, and Al's Gal. Journeyman rider Tracy Hebert earned the 4,000th win of his career when Rational Decision scored a front-running victory in the fourth race at Zia Park on November 28th. He became the 72nd North American-based jockey to reach the 4,000 win plateau with the score. Louisiana native's mounts have earned over $54 million throughout his career. As Frank mentioned a little earlier, Hall of Fame jockey Alex Solis officially announced his retirement on November 26th at Del Mar. The 53-year-old rider is still going through a physical therapy routine to recover from hip surgery he had back in August. Solis booted home over 5,000 winners in a career that began in 1981 and rode champions Snowtree, Bertrando, Riafan, and Kona Gold, among others. His top earner was Pleasantly Perfect, who he guided to victory in the 2003 Breeders' Cup Classic and in the 2004 Dubai World Cup.
As they turn the corner for the big money, 600 meters left to go, and Jerry Bailey takes Medaglia d'Oro up on the outside of Fleet Street Dancer. Pleasantly Perfect into the clear, is about to launch his claim. Medaglia d'Oro and Pleasantly Perfect, they duel in Dubai. Pleasantly Perfect, 300 meters out, joins Medaglia d'Oro. Victory Moon gets the third, but it's the big two.
Native of Panama, Solis's mounts earned more than $238 million in purses from nearly 34,000 starters. Champion sprinter and multiple Grade 1 winner Dre Fong has been sold to the Shidai Group in Japan, according to a November 30th announcement by Susan and Charles Choose, the Bayoma Corp, which campaigned the son of Gio Ponte. He will stand at the Shidai Stallion Station and retires with 6 wins from 9 lifetime starts and career earnings of over $1.5 million. And on a couple of sad notes, Hal Price Headley Jr., the son of one of Keeneland Racecourse's founders, passed away peacefully at the age of 80 on November 27th in his hometown of Lexington, Kentucky. Heedley was a director of the Keeneland Association from 1971 to 2013 and director emeritus since 2013. He also built and operated Poplar Grove Farm. Elizabeth Betty Alexander, a prominent owner and breeder in Ohio who campaigned the 8-time graded stakes winner Magna graduate, died on November 16th. She served as president of the Ohio Thoroughbred and Breeders Association from 2005 to 2007 and had several homebred Ohio champions. And finally, the big race of the day today, the field for today's $750,000 Grade 1 Cigar Mile Handicap presented by Naira Betts. In post position order from the rail outward is Mind Your Biscuits, Irad Ortiz Jr., Say Mordini, Jose Ortiz Jr., Just Call Kenny, Forrest Boyce, Tom's Ready, Mike Smith, Ender Eyed, American Eyes, Rafael Bejarano, Sharp Azteca, who carry the high weight, Javier Castellano in the boot. Vulcan's Forge, Luis Saez will ride, Practical Joke, Joel Rosario, Summer Revolution and Manny Franco, and finally, Beasley with Junior Alvarado. The race will be televised nationally on Fox Sports 2 from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And that is it.
Well, thank you very much, John. At that Cigar Mile tomorrow, $750,000 purse. The favorite is going to be Sharp Azteca, but... He got an awful hard race in that Breeders' Cup, the Dirt Mile, where he was second to Battle of Midway. And that was a hell of an effort to ship to California, run that sort of race, get back on the plane, back to the East Coast. I'm just saying, 2-1 might not be the price you want to take in this race.
It's going to be toting the high weight. Yeah. 125 pounds and as well.
Absolutely.
And looking for that elusive grade one. He has never won the grade one before, certainly capable of it, but ran huge in the on Breeders' Cup day, I thought, against the bias. Kind of a closer's track that day and made all the pace and just got beat by a half length by a razor-sharp Battle of Midway. So, you know, probably a little bit of an underlay in here. I like him, but not to win it.
I mean, like, he's giving away as much as 11 pounds to the likes of Beasley, who is a very nice horse, around 100.
Interesting horse.
Yeah. You know, he's given away a lot of weight to very good horses, including Mind Your Biscuits. He's given 3 pounds to Mind Your Biscuits, finished third in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He goes to stretch out at a mile for the first time, I believe. No, he has run one time at this distance before, but the one-turn mile at Aqueduct, kind of a unique type of a race. I wouldn't be betting on Sharp Azteca, put it that way.
I think he'll be a little bit of an underlay for certain, and, you know, you make a good point about, you know, how much did that race take out of him, a month ago.
Yeah.
You know, 30 days, I don't know, may not be enough time to come back from an effort like that. But it's, you know, Navarro knows his horses pretty well.
Sure.
And this joker shows up to play every time. He's a hard-knocking colt. So I thought you can't eliminate him entirely, I wouldn't say. But, I mean, I kind of like Practical Joke in here, who will be bet. But getting 5 pounds from the aforementioned Sharp Azteca, this horse has always been cut out to be a miler. I think one turn setup is right in his wheelhouse,
Stepping
off a layoff. Chad Brown, you're looking at 3-1, 7-2, I think it's fair price on the morning line. I think he's 7-2, might get bet down a little bit, but I like him in here. Good outside post draw.
Yep.
He's got the right running style. He'll be tough.
I'll give you another horse that could be tough. And that is the 5-horse, American Eyes, for Simon Callahan and Kaleem Shah. This horse is getting better and better.
He's fast.
Very fast horse. And the mile should be well within his, his grasp.
Yeah, right in his wheelhouse, no doubt about it. You know, he's got to probably have to deal with the horse right to his outside on the front end. Sharp Azteca will be a little handier, I think. But it'll be close.
Well, that's true. I mean, like, I would say that you have to catch American Eyes to win it.
Sure, I think is the speed of the speed. Blender Ice's horse has got a little bit of speed. Seymour Dini, Ortiz at his best on front running types. I think the 10 is kind of an interesting play. You mentioned Beasley.
Yeah.
Horse has never run a bad race around one turn. It's 12-1 on the morning line.
Yeah.
Coming off a game effort behind Tom's Ready, a nice horse in the Bold Ruler.
And he's getting 11 pounds from Sharp Azteca.
Nice weight swing for him. He's an interesting kind of a long shot play to me. Would use in the pick three for certain.
And he's 1-for-1 at Aqueduct.
That's important.
Important that you run well over the track.
Yep, no doubt about it.
We'll go off to break now, and we'll be back here on WLXG ESPN Radio. I'm Frank Lyons alongside of John Gaver. We'll be back. ESPN Radio, 1300 AM. John Gaver and Frank Lyons, thank you for joining us. And right now on the phone is a very special man, a very, very good friend of mine, Alex Solis, who announced your retirement last week, Alex. And I seen a little bit of pain in your face there on TVG last week when you announced your retirement. Is it a pretty sad day for you?
Yeah, it was. You know, I've been riding races for 37 years, and I didn't really realize how bad I was going to feel. I've been thinking about it for a while, and the day came, and it hit me the day before, and to be honest, I was in tears most of the day, and after it, it's a very sad day, and but I can't complain.
Yeah, yeah. You know, most people, when they get to the retirement age, they can't wait to get out of what they're doing. You know, they're like looking forward to retirement, but not for you, Alex. You know, you could see the love you had for the game, and of course, you're not gonna be too far away, right?
I want to do something else in the sport. Yeah, I love the horses, of course, and I love the industry.
Yeah.
And I figured out what else I would like to do in the future.
That's awesome. I'd firstly like to congratulate you on just an awesome career. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Rode some of my favorite horses, Kona Gold and Bertrando. Too many to list. Just awesome to be able to talk to you. I know that you're retiring, but you like to play golf. And a pretty good golfer at that, so it'll free you up. There's tons of good courses in California.
Oh, definitely, and I will get. Hopefully, I get my game a lot better than it has been the last few years. Now I'm gonna have more time to practice.
Yeah. Now, who's the best golfer in the jocks room in California, Alex?
I think Nakatani was for a long time, and Gary, rest in peace. He was a great golfer too. Chris McCarron. But right now, I say probably Nakatani.
Yeah. So you wouldn't be?
At one point, I was when I was practicing a lot. But as you know, I took my career a lot more serious. Not that they didn't do it.
Sure.
But I was more focusing and riding and my horses.
Yeah, yeah. Now you, I believe you just had hip surgery. Is that right?
Yes, I had it done like 3.5 months ago. 3.5 months ago. 3 months ago, and I'm walking better. I feel better and recuperating. But it takes me a little longer to recuperate the muscles and the nerves to heal.
Was it the pains and aches that made your decision for you?
Yeah, it was. You know. 53 years old, I have broke a lot of bones, and getting up in the mornings and feeling all this pain is not fun. And
no.
You know, I've been out for a while, and I kind of lost that love that I have for riding races.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to try to make a comeback, and
sure.
that I did. To be honest, I thought I tried to lose some weight. I gained 20 pounds, and I tried to lose some weight for a month, and I only lost like 5 pounds. And I finally said, you know what, this is enough. I didn't have that love that I have for riding races. And I said, I don't want to go up there and, and do a halfway job. You know, my whole life I took a lot of pride and be 100% and get 100% and train myself to the best. And I didn't want it.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to go out there and do a halfway job.
Yeah. So now, does this mean that you'll never get on another horse? Are you still going to, you know, come out and ride horses like Angel Cordero did?
I might.
Yeah.
I might.
Good.
I love the, you know, just to go up there in the morning and get on horses and see them develop and so on is something that I would love to.
Sure.
Because it keeps me involved in racing, so we'll see. The first step I got to take is just like be 100% and recover 100% in my knee. And I mean, in my hip, and go from there. Because I still love the horses. I love and the environment and the industry.
Sure.
You know.
Now, how much are you watching young Austin Solis? What kind of critiquing are you doing of his riding these days?
To be honest, I have to watch him after the replay because I cannot watch it live. You know, it makes me nervous.
Really?
But I try to help him as much as I can. I think he knows the blueprint. He knows what you need to do to ride a good race, put a horse in a good race.
Yeah.
And he's improving. He's getting there. He understands the game. He's been around his whole life. So
sure.
You just got to keep working hard and keep showing up.
Yeah, I guess you won't be too far away from the game. I know that you're on the California Horse Racing Board, and that's kind of got to be an interesting, you know, after competing on the backside and riding in big races, that's got to be an interesting kind of transition for you to maybe to the boardroom, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of hard work, and of course, my whole life I never really thought about what the California Horse Racing meant.
Right.
What it really meant. And now that I have this big responsibility, I know what it meant, and, you know, preserve the integrity of the sport and keep the horses and jockeys safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's our job. And again, it's a lot of work, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they're lucky to have somebody with your insight for certain on that board, and wish you continued success in that role.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I love the horses to death, and I have friends and family involved, and I hope we can, you know, keep improving it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully one day we had it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, that never comes back, Alex. You just keep everyone safe if you can. And now, what about your wine collection? And aren't you involved at the Megahertz Winery?
No. Actually, not.
No.
Mike, Steve, and I, we were doing Jinetes. We were making. We still sell them in the internet, but we haven't made it the last 3 years.
Oh,
we stopped the production on that until we decide if we want to keep, if we want to do something else.
Yeah. So now, you have one of the most amazing wine collections. You are a real connoisseur of wine. And you know, what kind of work would you like to do with the wineries?
Well, at this point, I'm trying to define myself, and at this point, what really jumps in my heart is horse racing. You know,
sure.
I had that feel the spirit of competition, so I'm trying to define myself what I would like to do, in the future, you know.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, I'm gonna use the same blueprint. You know, I work hard, as you know, and everything I do, I gotta be passionate about it and do it from my heart, and that's the only way that I know how to do it.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
Yeah. If you take my advice, when you're trying to find yourself, you stay away from drinking red wine. Never worked for me. Of the horses that you rode, Alex, Snow Chief and Kona Gold would probably come to mind. Of course, Pleasantly Perfect in the World Cup and the Breeders' Cup Classic. Well, what's your fondest memory of any of the horses that you've ridden? What's your fondest memory, of any of these horses?
Well, I have to say, we had a lot of fun with Mega Hurt. You know, she was a very special filly. But I have to say, probably Pleasantly Perfect winning the World Cup. And the reason for that is because my older son Alex was there with me, and of course, one of the guys that helped me out for so long, Richard Mandela. It was very special for us to win that race, and we did it. Yeah, so I owe a lot to Mr. Mandela for all the great horses here. He put me on.
Yeah. You rode two of the four Breeders' Cup winners that he had at Santa Anita, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I rode Yohara and the Dutch Classic and the Breeders' Cup, the Dutch Classic.
Yeah,
It was a great day.
What about Snow Chief, Alex? He was the only horse that ever won the Santa Anita Derby and the Florida Derby, I believe.
Yes. He's one of those horses that didn't have a great pedigree, but he had a lot of heart, and he gave us a lot of nice winners and a lot of great memories.
Yeah. Now, how far apart was the Florida Derby and the Santa Anita Derby? Because they're basically run around the same weekend now, or a week apart. They must have been. Was there a month gap, or was it a 3-week gap?
I think it's something in between that.
Yeah.
And he was such a strong horse that he won the Camino Real Derby.
Yeah.
We brought him down to Santa Anita, and then he won the Florida Derby. He came back here, win the Santa Anita Derby, something like that. I can't remember either one.
Yeah.
And he flew back to Florida and come back here, and he was a very, very strong horse.
Hickory, that is right, yeah. I remember when they brought him to Hollywood Park when he was like 24, 25 years old, and they went to parade him, and he honestly thought that they were going to put the tack on him again, and he looked like he could race right then. He was 25 years old, I believe.
Maybe lip chain.
Oh, he thought they were coming back to the races. He was like, Now, what about Kona Gold? He was a great character.
Ah, he's an awesome horse.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite horses too.
Yeah.
He showed up all the time, and he was a warrior.
Yeah.
Because he never give up. He's one of the smartest horses that I've ever.
Yeah. I remember he used to drop his head right when you get to the wire. He'd be trying to win a race, and then he'd get to the wire. He'd drop his head and pull up like an old pony.
Even one time I was working at my Del Mar, and one of my rein broke. It broke right up. I broke out the 5A pole, and the rein broke right away.
Oh, God.
I was company with another horse. And I panicked.
Yeah.
I stopped to panic. And
no steering wheel.
And I'm going like, okay, you're in charge, because I have no control of the steering wheel here.
Oh, really?
He went around there working a minute. And past the wire, I start talking to him. I start telling him, and right away he pulled up at the 7A pole. And Bruce had grabbed him with the pony. He was wide as a ghost. and Kona Gold,
he's like, don't worry, you guys.
Don't worry, guys. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Our horse.
Now, he ran in 5 Breeders' Cup sprints. Isn't that right?
It seemed like every year for a while there, that you look open up the form, he's in there with a chance.
With a chance.
Yes, yes, he did, and every time he show up, he always brought a check.
Yeah, always brought a check. Well, Alex, it's been great talking to you.
Pleasure,
we wish you the best of luck, and we look forward to seeing you around the racetrack.
Well, I'll be there, and thank you for thinking of me. And
We know each other very well as Fail. He calls me Fail. I call him Fail.
I don't know. I think him calling you Fail is a little better.
So, Alex, God bless you. Okay. And you be good. And we'll see you soon. Okay.
Take care.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Alex Solis, guys, one of the legends of the racetrack.
Great rider. Awesome to talk to.
Yeah. So, okay, so we're going to go off to break now here for a couple of minutes. You're listening to WLXG ESPN Radio, John Gaver and Frank Lyons. We'll be back. Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh's foals were on sale for the first time at the November breeding stock sales, and they made headlines. A Bay Filly out of Untouched Talent was the star of the show when selling for $1 million to Emmanuel Desserous, Narvik International at Fasig Tipton. Other highlights included a pair of colts that sold for $575,000 and $525,000, and a daughter of star race mare Life at 10, which sold for $500,000. All in all, American Pharaoh had 10 foals sell for an average of $475,000, by far the highest average for a first-year sire and third among all sires. American Pharaoh was a superstar on the track, and now he's the talk of the sales ring. He will be standing his third season at Coolmore America's Ashford Stud in 2018. For more information, visit www.coolmore.com or call the office on 859-873-7088. That's 859-873-7088. Welcome back to ESPN Radio, WLXG. I am Frank Lyons alongside of John Gaver. And on the phone right now, we have the owner of American Equus, this new stirrup company. I've been relatively new, isn't it, David?
Yeah, we're about 18 months old, actually. And relatively new.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So a lot of the jockeys are now using your irons. And what is different about your irons?
Well, we make a little slightly different approach to what traditionally was out there. We manufacture our irons from solid billet aluminum, which is a 6061 aluminum alloy at a hardness of T6. And we took a little bit different approach to the solid one-piece irons that are forged or cast that have been out there, and we mill them in-house in our own CNC machines.
Right.
And what ends up happening when you're done with the product, you end up with a very safe, robust iron that has very little tendency to crack. When our irons have impact on them, they tend to bend and get out of the way as opposed to cracking.
Yeah, right.
Like the traditional irons.
Yeah.
So they're much safer in the gate.
And so in this year's Preakness, there was 9 runners. 5 of them were wearing American Equus irons. That's quite a feat.
Yeah, it's been quite amazing, the response we've had from starting. I think our first race we were in was a year ago in the Belmont. And one of the first jockeys we were really riding was Ricardo Santana Jr.
Right.
And he loved them. And the word kind of just spread through the jockey rooms. And I got continued introductions to different riders. And the more they got out there, the more the guys liked them.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a Mike Smith on here in a few minutes. And Mike Smith is raving about these irons.
Yeah, Mike has been tremendously successful on them and has really been instrumental in helping us kind of tweak a few things that made him a lot more comfortable on them, and kind of a unique approach to the footbed that's been really, really quite successful for him and all the other guys.
So do you take any blame for Arrogate getting beat in the last 3 races?
No, I take no blame. We gave him what we thought was the lightest, fastest irons in the world.
Uh-huh.
And he rode well in the races before that when he was running in them.
Yeah, he won the Dubai World Cup with those irons.
Yep.
So that's certainly got accounted for something. I mean, looking at your website, it's like, you know, a who's who of jockeys that are currently using your product. That's pretty exciting. the thing that struck out to me about them is kind of, it's a different kind of a wider base with, like, for lack of a better word, this kind of prong action going on, I guess, which kind of helps them with stability wise. Pretty cool.
Exactly. And we make several different footbeds that allow them to have different types of traction control based on the kind of boots they're running.
Yeah.
The guys running the really thin Japanese boots tend to like our more teardrop type shape with the rubber kind of cushion traction sole.
Right.
And a lot of the guys like Ricardo Santana really likes the traction pin, which gives them a little bit more grip control.
Yeah.
When they're riding. I mean, they're riding with so little foot.
Right.
Everything matters.
Yeah.
So,
well, Javier Castellano has said, with the amount that I ride, I don't feel like I get tired in these irons. I feel very comfortable with these irons.
Yeah, nice endorsement.
Yeah. Them too. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And I think you'll find the same from most of them. They feel very safe, very secure. I've gotten a couple pairs, you know, that Ricardo had some really tough incidents in the gate. And the irons tend to bend. And he sent me pictures of them. It's just incredible. They hold up great. They protect his feet. And they do exactly what they were designed to do.
Now, you make these irons for all types of horses, like Western, English, polo ponies, and something that you call the Prodigy. What is the Prodigy?
The Prodigy is really geared for a junior rider, so a child, basically.
Yeah.
And we kind of base that iron off the iron we're running for the jockeys. It's just a kind of a scaled-down version of an equestrian hunter iron for a 5 to 10-year-old rider.
Huh,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Now, are they much more expensive than the regular irons that we go into the, you know, our local tack shop and we choose an iron? Is it going to be a lot of more expensive to choose your?
Well, they're slightly more expensive because of the way they're manufactured.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're all milled here. We make everything here in the United States. I think we're the only manufacturer of stirrup products in the United States at all now. And so we do everything in-house, and everything, all these products are machined on CNC machines, and then they're hand-polished, and then we do an anodization process that gives them the color combination that they're allowed to choose. And a lot of the equitation irons are actually also chrome-plated, show chrome-plated, much like a car part.
Yeah,
so
right.
The finish on these, they're spectacularly finished. And everything about them...
They do look
fantastic. Really cool.
Now, where would the people that are listening go to find your irons?
Well, everything we do, we sell online also at AmericanEquus.com. But
how do you spell Equus?
EQUUS.
Okay.
.com. And the tack shops for the jockeys at the big at Gulfstream and some of the big shops.
Yeah.
They also carry them online. And then we also have select equestrian shops across the country that also carry them.
Huh.
And they're actually available all over the world.
Very good. That's awesome. And you do some other things as well. It's horseshoes, which is kind of, I guess, of a natural segue from your, doing your milling work, spurs.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff. You're not just kind of pigeonholed in the iron making business.
No, we're kind of just trying to update everything that's been not changed in hundreds of years. Add in a little technology to your ride.
That's never hurts.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, David. And thank you very much for giving us the insight to American Equus. And now we're going to find out the real truth from Mike Smith.
Yeah, great.
All right. So, Mike, what about this American Equus? Well, what can you tell me about American Equus?
Well, man, the stirrups are incredible. You know, I met David a few years ago, and he had brought his stirrups to me, a design that he had, and to be honest with you, although a lot of people liked them, I didn't quite care for them as much as I just kind of wanted him to change a couple of things. So he made it flat for me, and he kind of made it teardropped, got right back to me within a matter of 2 weeks, and, I mean, they were just as perfect could be for me. And I absolutely love them. They give you much more platform underneath your foot. You can get stronger on a horse. I think your balance is better on a horse. I won't ride without them.
Right. And so, like in the Preakness, there was 9 runners. 5 of the jockeys were wearing American Equus irons. And, like, so this is getting around.
Yeah, it's getting around. My secret's getting out, man.
Yeah, no, that's not right.
Yeah.
I told all those young guys it's an old man stirrup because there's more underneath the foot. You know, you don't need as much. You don't need your balance to be quite as good.
It's like
they really do. I mean, I almost feel like you're standing on so much more, but yet not more of your foot is in the iron.
Yeah.
So they're very, very safe as well. Matter of fact, you don't have to put as much foot into the iron to get a better balance, which is really, really good.
I mean, it certainly makes sense to me that if your footing is really comfortable, that you're going to ride better.
No doubt about it. I mean, was it kind of weird for you getting used to it? I mean, I know you started riding horses when you're like 11 years old or something with probably the same old set of irons for a long time. And I mean, is it really kind of a, you know, like a new kind of revolutionary thing that it took a little bit of time to get used to?
To me, that was a good thing about it was there was no getting used to. As a matter of fact, it was more comfortable right away.
Wow,
you know, I would put the saddle on the Equisizer. I'd tell these jocks, I'd say, hey, look, jump up here and just get on this for a little bit. Tell me what you think. And they go, what are those things, man? They get up there and they're like, wow, what the heck? Where do you get these? Like right away.
Really?
I mean, people like, you know, that much.
That's awesome.
Huh. And so now we got to get to the personal kind of things, Mike. Can you tell us what happened to Arrogate?
Boy, you know, I wish I knew, Frank.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as many years as you trained, it could have been two different things. You know, it could have been all them races just took a lot out of him and he lost his heart for it.
Yeah.
Or which I think he just never really did like that surface over there. You know, there's just some horses that don't like some surfaces and you look at his race that he actually won over that racetrack before he won the Travers.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, go back and look at it. I mean, he won the race. It was a 3-horse field.
Yeah.
But he was very uncomfortable doing it. Didn't really, you know, just did win. Then he comes back and he runs the fastest Travers of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, on a different track.
Yeah.
So I just truly believe he didn't like that racetrack. You know, you could argue, you know, that them races took a lot out of him, you know, going to the Travers, to the Classic, from the Classic to the Pegasus to the Dubai World Cup, and then coming back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, energy-wise, he looked around the bar, man, he looked amazing, and he acted amazing. I mean, he was a handful to handle, but every time, I mean, I wouldn't leave the gates, I wouldn't go 100 yards, Frank, and I could tell he didn't want no part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that had to be so disappointing. I mean, we were talking about him being the next coming of Man of War after the Dubai World Cup. I'm sure you would have agreed with that at that stage. And, you know, we seen a great Arrogate in his career. And, I mean, I will never forget watching you in the Dubai World Cup. And when you broke out of the gate and you got slammed and you were back in last, everyone looked at that and said, it's over. You can't overcome.
With those kind of horses, there's no way you can.
No,
you're supposed to win.
Right.
I mean, he was. Let me tell you something. That horse probably ran a C, maybe a D plus, a C race, and only gets beat 5 lengths the last time he runs.
Yeah.
Not taking away nothing against the horses that beat him, but when the real Arrogate showed up, then they weren't a horse in the world could beat him. Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So you're saying that. If Arrogate and Zenyatta were to line up in the Breeders' Cup Classic tomorrow,
that's probably a pretty unfair.
Honestly, you know, it's unfair because I love them both.
Yeah.
Tremendous horses. But Arrogate at his best was just incredible, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The horse was, it just never stopped, man.
Yeah. Because I remember after you won the Dubai World Cup, he pulled up and he didn't even look like he'd had a hard race.
No, that was crazy about all of it. Is that he could do all that and still recover so quick.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of think that it was just a surface. You know, he just, you know, some horses don't like some surfaces, and that's just one that he didn't like.
Yeah. So we had Alex Solis on today early, and Alex had announced his retirement. What about Mikey Smith? Is there any kind of retirement thoughts of the future?
Well, not right now. I plan on riding for Alex, so I'm hoping he gets some good horses.
Man, you're riding great. You got to keep going. Congratulations on an awesome year. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm happy for Alex that he's going in this direction. You know, he's such a guy that pays attention to detail. I've always thought that he'd be a really good trainer.
Yeah.
You know, not too many riders, you know, be become really good trainers, and he's one that I think could really do it. Although it's so sad that he's not riding no more. He's like my brother riding with.
Yeah.
I miss riding with him. I'm so happy he's going in this direction, and I'm just wishing him the best and hoping I can ride some for him.
You're two of the fittest riders that has ever been in the jocks room, both of you guys. You're just incredible. And the year that you've had, Mike, is unbelievable. I mean, are you third leading rider, 19 million in earnings, and you've ridden like 250 horses?
In Dubai, they won't count Dubai. They put Dubai in there. We might be right up there with the number one.
That's right. You're well ahead of number one.
No doubt.
If they don't use Dubai for the rider for some reason, I don't know why that is. That's weird. That's 10 million they're taking from
it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and
I do have what I was able to make in the right place. It's in my bank, but it don't show up on
the yeah.
Hey, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
You know where it shows up, Mike? In your bank account.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, in my pocket.
That's great. I mean, your career has been awesome. I mean, I remember when you were riding like Cherokee Run and Holy Bull and horses that were like a force on the East Coast, and you know, to see you doing it again in your early 50s out in California, and you know, getting on you know Songbird and Unique Bella and Zenyatta and so many nice fillies in particular, but so many nice horses. You know, it's a real honor to talk to you.
So
blessed, man. I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how blessed I've been in my career.
Yeah.
Really blessed me with some great people, some great horses, and, you know, as long as they keep coming my way, well, I'm going to try to stay in fit. Matter of fact, I just left the gym. I want to stay as good a shape as I can to keep doing it as long as I can.
Yeah. What are you now, Mike? Can you tell us? 53, 52?
Oh, 51.
51. You sounded like a woman there when I said that. I'm 51.
You offended me. you offended me.
Nah.
You know what, Frank? I always thought you did have a face for radio.
Yeah.
We've been telling him that for a while.
Yeah. I feel very comfortable. Now I don't need to have anyone put makeup on me.
I love you too,
Mike. So, like, if there was one moment in the sport that you could say that this was the moment that I remember of best of all, what would it be?
Well, of course, you know, winning in a Kentucky Derby with Giacomo was just incredible.
Yeah.
But I, you know, if you had to go back and look at, you know, what I've been blessed to do, I mean, there's been so many great moments, man. It's hard to name one, but there's one that I guess will always stand out, and that's when Zenyatta beat the boys in 2009 in the Classic.
I was just...
Hasn't been done since.
Yeah, right.
You know, females hadn't beat the boys in the Classic, and the way she did it, and the way Trevor was tall, and the way the grandstand shook that day. I told somebody that I literally could feel the ground shaking, and there wasn't no earthquake, man.
Yeah.
People just jumping up and down for her, you know.
I was there. It was the most magical moment.
I saw great horsemen crying. I mean, I saw Bob Baffert had tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
It was amazing, you know. It was just incredible.
Those hardened gamblers that never cry about a horse, never put any emotion into horse racing, were crying that day.
And no, they cry at me all the time.
When you get beat.
That's pretty good. Now you gotta you gotta get on a plane and go to New York, or you're riding in the Cigar Mile. I see.
Cigar Mile, yeah. I'll go over to Los Alamos. I ride a maiden for Jerry Holland offer today. I'll ride her and I'll come back get ready to head to the airport and fly on out. Right there and fly back tomorrow night.
So you only have one ride there today?
Yeah, one ride there today, and then one ride in New York tomorrow, and come right on back.
Yeah, good. Okay. Well, Mikey, great to talk to you, okay?
Wonderful talking to you guys.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We'll do it for sure.
Yeah, when you have something that's going to win, we'll call you, okay?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys. Nice talking.
Hey, okay, Mike, have a good day. Everyone. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye. So now we're going off to break. That was brilliant to talk to Mikey. And we're going off to break. We'll
seemed like he was in a good mood.
Oh, seemed like in a good mood. Yes, absolutely. So we'll be back, okay? on today is some fantastic racing at Aqueduct. We talked about the Cigar Mile. Now we get to talk about the Demoiselle and the Remsen.
Nice little all stakes pick three going on there. The Demoiselle, little grade two, 250,000, going a mile and an eighth on the old Aqueduct main track.
You know, in that race, I tend to look at Wonder Godot. I don't know if I butchered that name, but
I thought you pronounced it Godot, but I actually think you pronounce it Godot, all things.
You say Godot, I'll say Godot.
Yeah, there you go. We'll do a little Ella Fitzgerald scat here a little bit.
Wonder Godot, or Godot, she broke from the 11 hole in the Breeders' Cup and really ran a terrific race, coming off that 6-length win in the Mazarine. She's 2-1 on the morning line, and I would say she'll go off at about 2-1. I kind of like her.
I like her a little bit for certain. Just got clobbered at the 8th pole in the Breeders' Cup as well, and just got beat 5 lengths. So in the Juvenile Fillies race, first try on dirt.
Yep.
Certainly bred top and bottom to be a 2-turn dirt horse by Medaglia d'Oro out of a Vindication mare. Probably the class of the field, the one I liked on the rail at 5-2, probably the controlling speed of the
race. Well, you don't know how good she is. She's won both her races easily.
Gonna love 2 turns, gonna eat it up, eat it alive by Blame Flower Alley Mare. Love the effort in their first start against winners. Stan X to grade 3 stake for fun.
No.
The speed of the speed in here, bred by Jonathan
Shepherd.
I was
just going to ask you.
Pennsylvania bred.
Yeah.
So
the man who trained Stormcast.
That can't be all bad, right? Hall of Fame trainer.
So she's 5-2 on the morning line. She came in from Parks and ran in the Tempted, went off at 5-2 in the Tempted off of that major, like a very impressive debut, at Parks. So you have to...
Beat a next out winner in there.
Yeah, that's right.
The horse that was second came back and won. The time was pretty slow, but it was in the slop. I'm not sure with how the park surface plays. Sitting on a nice sharp bullet effort. John Service, good trainer. Going to control the speed. Kendrick Carmouche is at his best on the old front end. I like Daisy, the one in here, but there's also 3 that I like equally as well and couldn't really eliminate, and that is the 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
Kind of leaning a little bit toward the 7. Layla Noor in there with solid 2-term form, kind of a versatile running start style. Got just mugged in her last start at Laurel and showed a nice turn of foot and won going away. Manny Franco in the boot, 12-1 morning line.
Bred and owned by the Lael Stables. Of course, these colors made most popular by the great horse Barbaro.
Yep, exactly. The 5, Indy Union, looks all right. Stretching out to 2 turns by Union Rags out of an AP Indy mare, high percentage barn, Jeremiah Englehart. And so does John Service's other horse. We talked about her a little bit, Mauer Power, who I guess Love Lasix jumped up and won. Stretched out a 16th of a mile, went from a 39 buyer figure to an 85, getting Lasix for the first time.
I don't know about that figures. Those figures, a 39 buyer to an 85.
That's crazy.
Is that the same horse?
I don't know, but Violence will get you a precocious runner. They paid $180K for this one. So second off a layoff, Irad Ortiz to replace the injured Frankie Pennington.
He's out of a Cure de Blues mare.
Love it.
That has to be an old mare.
Love it.
Cure de Blues was by Stop the Music, who's trained by your granddad.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Gonna be kind of a low morning line that installment there at 4-1. So I'd maybe want a little better price on her, but this is I would probably take the 1, 3, and 7 in the pick 3.
Okay, so 1, 3, 7. I'll just go with the 3 horse, Wonder Godot. Wonder Godot. Johnny Velasquez takes over, by the way, to ride from Patrick Husbands. And the Remsen at a mile and an eighth also. It's a very nice race.
Nice race. Old classic race, 250 grand, grade 2, also mile and an eighth for the guys. So I don't know. This is, I guess the race goes through maybe Avery Island on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be on the front end for the old Godolphin Racing.
You know,
Al-Khatam, though, looks fairly interesting for Chad Brown. Tappet.
There's three Tappets. America's leading sire is represented by three Tappets in the two-year-old Remsen.
Makes sense.
Later on today. It's kind of the same as Good Magic. Coming into this race as a maiden is Al-Khatam, the seven horse. Jose Ortiz rides him back. You got beat three quarters of a length. He was a favorite. Closed well. That was at a mile. Now he's going a mile and an eighth. I think that he could be tough.
He could be tough. I mean, I guess the knock on him would be is, that last race kind of set up for him a little bit. They went 45-3 for the half. So it, he's got tons of upside. You figure he'll move forward in just a second lifetime start. These young horses can pair up pretty good efforts back-to-back routinely.
Yeah.
He'll be tough for certain.
Then we talk about John Service having two fillies in the Demoiselle. He's represented by the 10 Tap Right Strike, who is also by Tappet, an 875,000 two-year-old purchase at OBS early on this year, and he was a winner first time out at Parks Racetrack. Frankie Pennington rode him. It was $1.20 to $1. And Irad Ortiz takes over today, this afternoon.
Yep. Frankie Pennington hurt in a race at Churchill on the Stars of Tomorrow 2 card. I think he's nothing serious, but he's going to be banged up for a little while. Beautifully bred colt, this Tap Rap Strike.
Yeah.
I love the Cherokee Run mare. Yeah. Cherokee Queen paid a nice $875K for this one. He's cut out to be a nice horse. I don't know if he's maybe ready for this, but going to be kind of camped out wide, I would imagine, around there. But certainly got plenty of upside.
You know who's an interesting horse in there? And, he's a very interesting horse in there, is the horse trying the dirt for the first time, Catholic Boy.
Yes.
He was all the talk for the Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
He went off at 6-1. I think he was like 15-1 on the morning line. He took some major money on Breeders' Cup day, and he finished fourth, beating a length and a half in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf.
Yep.
Behind the $3 million scat daddy of Aidan O'Brien's Mendelssohn.
And didn't have the best of trips in there. And I would go out on a limb and say this horse arguably has a better dirt pedigree than he does a turf pedigree.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say.
Being by More Than Ready out of a Bernardini mare. And, set second off a layoff, be tighter this time around, was coming off kind of an extended rest going into the Breeders' Cup. Old Jonathan Thomas hitting it from limited opportunities, the old 31% strike rate for the year. I like this horse on the dirt.
He was 12-1 in with anticipation in the second start. I wish I had a bit of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got a reliable closing kick, 9 furlongs should be right on the money. I would use Catholic Boy. I like the turf to dirt play a lot.
This was the race last year that threw up Motown, and it was the top three horses. Tackiful was the horse that went on to win the grade one sprint at
the Vanderbilt.
What
it was. Yeah, he's a nice horse.
And they've all kind of jumped up and kind of put a stamp of, this wasn't such a bad race last year, but it looked this year for the first part of the year that it was just a terrible race. They all got beat out of sight, but then when they kind of, let up on the Motown, went to the grass, became a serious horse, won the Hollywood Derby, Tackiful won a grade one, the Vanderbilt. And the other horse was Arnaud Delacour. No Dozing. That was it.
Yep, No Dozing.
Yeah.
This has always kind of been, I don't know if it's kind of lacked luster the past few years, but kind of the wise guy early Kentucky Derby trip. Because you get a 2-turn, 9-furlong race in one when they're two. And I don't know, it used to be, I wish I had the past records of the Remsen, that they, I don't, of late, I don't think these, these juveniles have kind of panned out, that have won this. But it is a good, as a former trainer, I would like to get a 2-turn, 9-furlong race in my baby.
Yep.
If I could, if they were willing to do it, and then stop on them for the winter, and then you kind of bring them back and at least you got one that can stay two turns.
So, there's a few horses that look like that could be Derby horses. And
certainly.
Especially the three, Avery Island, who's very well bred by Street Sense out of an AP Indy mare, kind of spicy, bred and owned by Godolphin. Won his last two races, won in Nashua by 4 3/4 lengths. And, you know, he went a genuine pace around there, up on the lead. So I'll expect him to be on the lead today or close to it. Yep. And
no doubt about
it. I think that he might be the horse to come out of this race to be in the Derby next year.
Yeah, he looks tough. Certainly got better when they stretched him out. Went off favored in his first start at Saratoga. They liked him from the get-go. Jersey Joe Bravo's going to kind of dictate the pace in here.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be tough. He looks like the kind of horse that will only get better with time, with that kind of pedigree. You know, he will probably be heard from on the, barring any unforeseen instance on the old Triple Crown trail.
Well, that's it for another week, John.
That is it for another week.
Sean, the producer, is waving, snapping his hands at me. Like,
the way we tend to ramble on when we talk about handicapping races. I don't know if that's a good thing or probably a bad thing for the listeners, really. But maybe we'll give out a couple winners. Who knows?
Yeah. All right, guys and gals, have a good weekend, okay? Enjoy the rest of your morning and enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back next Saturday.